This episode is brought to you by Tech Access DemoCast. To download the latest episode, visit techaccessweekly.com. Hello and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. To get involved, send email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW. This is Tech Access Weekly, episode 136 for Thursday, April 26, 2012. I'm Aaron.
I'm Rodney.
And this is Soda or Pop?
But it only took three tries to start.
But we finally got started. Incidentally, you may enjoy the Tech Access DemoCast if you like to compare Braille displays, because this one features the Brailliant in Episode 3, the Brailliant 40 from Humanware.
Why, yes, the one that you had for like 4 days.
Five days. Grateful to have it for that long.
Oh, yeah.
It was a wonderful experience. And Ron, one of our listeners, wants to know if I'm going to demonstrate the Braille Edge from HIMSS, and provided I can get a hold of a unit, the answer would be yes. Since they have just been released, the dealer in my area has not gotten his demo unit yet, and apparently he's only going to start out with one, so I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to play with it. I may or may not be able to do a podcast on it, depending on how long I can use it.
Well, you just need some extra coffee, and you can stay up all night and play with it.
There you go.
I'm not seeing a conflict, just a scheduling issue.
Yeah, scheduling issue. That's pretty much it. I guess.
But I guess you are planning to also review another one as well?
Yes, the Focus 40 Blue from Freedom Scientific. I'm planning to review that one also when I can get in touch with the dealer. It's a dealer thing. Both HIMSS and Freedom Scientific dealers in my area are rather far away from me, which necessitates coordinating their travel schedules and things around Raleigh. So it may take some time, but we'll get it all done. Incidentally, we've gotten some listener comments about that demo cast. People saying they really thought it was interesting. Several other people have suggested demo cast topics, among them David Partrick, and a listener named Chris, who offers some of his demos for our use. Also David Cleveland, I believe, has suggested something. So thank you all for your listening and suggestions. And we also had listener mail from several other people. So this has been a really productive listener week.
I know. It's like,
I'm amazed.
Nothing. Then something.
Whew.
And even we heard from young Marcus out there. He wanted to drop us a note and let us know that he has a blog started at sierraandmarcus.com. Webs.com.
Yes.
So that is Sierra and Marcus.
Spell Sierra.
Webs.
S-I-E-R-R-A.
Yes. And A-N-D-M-A-R-C-U-S dot webs, W-E-B-S dot com.
Webs.com. I've never explored that service before.
I had not either.
Huh. Well, I'll have to look at it. So thanks everyone for your listening and your suggestions.
Yes, and several people enjoyed the name of the last week's podcast.
Yes.
The combining of the Metropolitan and Neapolitan, which before we started the podcast, we were trying to figure out, okay, what would be a clever name? And I'm like, well, it's three flavors of Windows, so we'll just go with Metropolitan. And then I couldn't remember what the name of the ice cream was.
Well, I kept getting confused because Windows is having this like all new Metro look. So I thought, okay, Metropolitan, just for that reason.
Yeah.
So
it was kind of a confusion on my part and just strange, because there also is a brand called Metropolitan.
Of ice cream?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So Yeah, it was a little confusion all the way around, but yes, it was intended to be a play on words.
But then it became an even more confusing play on words.
Because it was too convenient of a play on words that couldn't be straightened out to be a not play on words.
What?
Exactly.
Okay, let's move along.
But in talking about that, I will point out that Windows 8 will be in basically three flavors. There will be Windows 8, then Windows 8 Professional, and Windows 8 for ARM. There is a specification for Enterprise, which is mostly for licensing purposes as far as companies. Supposedly, it will be very similar to Windows Professional. Just gives them bulk licensing. So that's why there's technically four versions.
Ah, three and a half flavors.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, shall we get started with our main stories for today?
Why not, seeing as how we're floundering away into
Yes, flounder, flounder. When we start off, as usual, with some security news.
Why, yes. There is, scarily enough, a new Java Trojan and old Microsoft Word vulnerabilities popping up for the Mac. Go figure.
Mm.
There is a new virus, which is a new flavor, to continue the flavor motif there. SabPab, S-A-B-P-A-B, is a new variation of Flashback that is actually going to seek to connect to remote connections and control and command center servers. It will actually install to your library/launch agents directory. And it doesn't require passwords or anything from you in order to do this. Like I say, it is a version of Flashback. It is actually not known as to whether Apple will be pushing out a patch for this, but the previous patches for Flashback do not resolve the issue.
Should we just talk about Flashback? Because we're going to be talking about that later. Should we just move that up to now?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? You know how we were all gleeful last week and said that the security firms had done research and it had been found that because people had been patching their computers, you know, their Macs running the patches that Apple put out, that there were less infections of Flashback reported.
Yeah, it's been a confusing thing because after Apple put out the infection patches, you know, to sort of get rid of the vulnerability, Symantec came out and said, well, it's dropped down to 140,000 from 650,000. And then there was another report from another company that said it had dropped as much as 30,000, even more, you know.
And then there's a report from another company that says it's 750,000.
Yeah, and a Russian company has said that they have come up with a number such as about 650,000, just like the original, and that the number has not decreased. The Flashback apparently is able to spoof its server addresses by adding current date and certain code embedded parameters to dynamically generate alternate domain names.
So in other words, these are called like sinkholes. So it takes advantage of these sinkholes.
Yeah, so it creates like Twitter 123, Twitter 345, Twitter, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing, which is causing difficulties for websites and services like Symantec to have issues because they're not able to actually tell that it's the same infection. So it's a little bit confusing and a little bit devious that they're able to do that.
Basically, what we've been able to find out, it seems like people are, running the patches and getting it off their systems, but just as many people are becoming infected. So it seems like between getting it on and taking it off, the number really hasn't fluctuated all that much.
Yeah. So it's pretty much people are installing their updates like they should be. The number's decreasing, but at the same time, more and more computers are being infected with the Flashback virus, malware, whatever you want to call it. In the previous story, I mentioned that there was MS Word vulnerabilities there are, and Microsoft has put out patches to fix a few different things over the last couple of years, but Mac users are not too used to having automatic updates. So if you are a Mac user and you have Microsoft products, you will want to go to your preferences so that you can enable automatic updates of Microsoft products, including Word and such.
And you might want to do that soon, because there have been studies done that suggest that 20% of Macs have Windows viruses on them.
Yeah, now it's a little strange because you're thinking, okay, I didn't think that software for Windows could be installed on a Mac. Well, yeah, evidently, according to, I believe it was Sophos, is saying that 20% of Macs out of 100,000 that they surveyed using their free software, they figured out that they're running Windows software in order to try and find other computers on the internet to infect. So they're sort of carriers, I guess you would say, to use like an epidemic or medical way of looking at it.
I guess.
They're carriers and not actually infected with issues.
What about people using virtual machines? That was my immediate thought. If you're running Windows on a virtual machine, how virtual is the machine? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, it's usually pretty well sandboxed to where it is considered separate. You know, you shouldn't have interaction between the two unless you actually open up ports or something in the virtual machine to access the Mac.
That whole concept just creeps me out.
Yeah, but they also did find that 1 in 36 Macs actually have OS viruses or malware installed on them, because people just are not in the habit, like Windows users, of running their updates.
Right.
So out of that 100,000, 2.7% of you actually have
OS viruses on there.
Mac viruses and such. So the happy times are over for Mac users.
Yeah, it would seem so.
Welcome to the world of Windows. Oh, well, let's see. Can we find any happier news?
Well, you know how the world is supposed to end in December of 2012?
Yeah, well, apparently on July 9th, 2012, the internet is going to go away for about 300 or some thousand Windows users, because they have a virus on their system called DNS Changer. Now, the interesting thing about this is, the FBI put out information about this DNS changer, and the newspapers have picked up on it. Local television stations have picked up on it like it's this big horrific thing because the FBI is warning you.
The FBI did something stupid to compound the problem.
DNS changer was first discovered in 2007. It's been patched. It's been resolved. If people are actually running their updates like they should have been over the previous years with Microsoft products, the FBI cracked a malware hacking group. I can't remember what country they found them in. So they got a hold of their servers, realized that there's 300,000 computers hooked up in this botnet, and the FBI decided, you know, instead of making these people actually have to do anything about it, we're going to create servers. We're going to take over their servers and point them to good domains, because this DNS changer actually redirects your computer through their servers in order to get to the internet.
So they basically turned the crook servers into good servers.
Yes.
But it still didn't resolve the problem, because they ran out of money to maintain the servers, and they are going to go down on July 9th.
Yes. And it's hard to fathom that people would actually still be having issues with these computers and this DNS changer, since there are updates.
I mean, but you had to have not updated in 5 years.
Yeah.
To put this in perspective.
If you've got DNS changer and your internet goes down on July 9th, 2012, because the FBI turned off these servers, you've got more problems than just that.
DNS changer.
So if you have that relative out there, like I have one.
Oh, yeah.
In she doesn't know what automatic updates are or anything like that, doesn't connect to the internet regularly to do updates and things like that, because it's totally foreign. She's probably got it. And if you know people that do not update their computer on a regular basis, you need to let them know that they need to run their updates and get their Windows machine up to date. I'm not sure whether this actually affects Macs or not. I think it's just Windows-based computers. The DCWG.com actually has information on cleansing your PC of this issue. You can also find the Kaspersky Labs TDSS Killer. And I remember seeing that back in 2007 when this first came out.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, way back there. So
you've got more problems than just that if you haven't updated in 5 years.
So, yeah, the FBI is kind of going a little overboard, and the media is just sort of picking it up because, think about it, the flashback virus is affecting more users than have DNS changer.
Yeah, and the FBI is, okay, I'll get my political hat off now, is proceeding in typical government in-your-face, let's-do-everything-for-you business, and trying to, I don't know, do things that people should do by themselves, that it would not be that hard, and making the situation harder.
Well, if they would have pulled the plug on these servers back in December when they've confiscated them, all of these people would have been resolved by now, because
I know
most likely they would have been, little Billy, my computer won't get on the internet. What is the problem? Well, Grandma, looks like you must have a problem, like a virus or something. Might better take it down to the Geek Squad and get it fixed. Okay. You know, I just...
They just made it so much worse and so much more difficult. I just don't understand.
As Leo Laporte said, the FBI is acting like a bunch of boneheads.
Pretty much, yeah. Boneheads.
Because most likely, if the internet is not working, people are going to figure out how to get their computer back working. You know, they're going to find the kid down the street or somebody that has a fix-it shop that's going to be able to help them out. You know, it'll solve itself, but sheesh. Well, in order to help you with the spam issue on Twitter and to help you with the DNS changer, if you have that, well, Twitter has been hit with hacked accounts and spam, and they're trying to help you out by spreading the word about various antivirus software to help you get your system clean. They promise to give you online virus checks, proven antivirus, excellent antivirus, and links to websites that end in .tk and twi.su. Well,
guess what, boys and girls?
These are pretty much infecting you and other people in your Twitter sphere with a virus or malware or
hacking your Twitter
account
somehow.
It has been found that in one day there was noticed to be 4,148 tweets containing malicious links being sent to over 540 compromised Twitter accounts. So you may have received one of these from unsuspecting people that you follow, or may have gotten retweets. So you might want to be on the lookout for things that look a little bit suspicious. Why in the world would so-and-so be sending me a link about antivirus?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where you just have to kind of think ahead a little bit.
Thinking ahead is good.
Is it out of the ordinary?
I compromised my Twitter account by not thinking ahead.
Yeah, and
so once is enough.
And with link shorteners, it's a little difficult to stay up with all of the different things.
I know.
There's is good.
That's
and all
how
these
they get you.
Yeah, and all these different websites like Amazon and things have link shorteners with Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you see .tk, okay. Clicky.
Whatever.
Clicky.
Clickety clickety. Yeah.
So anyway, be smart out there, people. Because the 15-year-old is going to hack you as well as other companies.
A 15-year-old in Austria was arrested recently for hacking into the website of 259 companies over a period of 3 months.
15-year-old people.
15-year-old taking advantages in their web security and flaws in their web, you know, the flaws in their security on their website and flaws in their databases to log in and wreak havoc. I don't know what he did and whether and how invasive he was, but he was found out, and apparently he confessed as soon as he was confronted with the police or the equivalent of the Austrian FBI or whatever
authorities
that came to talk with him about that. So he, you know, confessed, but that's a lot of companies in a 3 month period, and that's an awfully young hacker.
And he's probably going to be working for the government very soon.
That was my next thought. Well, Apple is getting very ingenious.
Ingenious, you say?
Oh, irritating. Mm. Invasive. I don't know what to call it.
It's more like being secure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they've decided that if you download apps in the App Store or even on your iTunes desktop, they may ask you to verify 3 security questions. And the questions that they're giving out are kind of strange, some of them. It's not the standard, what's your mother's maiden name? Where did you go to high school? You know, that kind of thing. It's more like, where did you have your first kiss? Or where did you live in 1998? Etc.
Yeah, I got prompted for this the other day when I was downloading a couple of free things. So it pretty much will ask you 3 questions, and it might prompt if you are downloading multiple apps at one time. So that may be a clue to it. Actually, I was running updates, I believe, and it prompted me.
I haven't been hit with that. It yet. But
you might not be, because we share an account so that we can share applications.
That's true. However, I have iTunes on my computer, and we don't share. Well, I don't know if it's just the App Store or the iTunes Store that's also doing it.
It's both. It's both. So you could be prompted for that, along with an alternate email address in case your account gets hacked and they need to try and recover your information from you. So you will need to have another account other than your iTunes account. Yeah. I mean, it's a security measure. It's just like every other website out there.
I'm surprised they didn't have it before, to be quite honest.
Yeah, kind of.
I think people are more, I don't know what the word is, more sort of embarrassed by the nature of the questions than by the fact that they're asking security questions. Apparently, the questions are sometimes kind of personal, sort of like, where did you live when you had your first kiss and that kind of thing. I think that was one that was posted on Twitter.
Or what's your teacher or something. When I was prompted, I should have thought about it and took a snapshot of the different questions, but I just didn't even think about it.
Oh, well.
Because anyway, it was just kind of like, okay, they're adding extra security, but a lot of people got bent out of shape because of the questions.
I don't get it. I don't know.
Trying to make you more secure.
Yeah.
Well, in order to try and make you a little bit more secure, you folks out there who are MobileMe customers and just for some ungodly reason haven't updated to Snow Leopard yet,
you mean Lion.
No, Snow Leopard.
Well, yeah, Snow Leopard.
They're on Lion. Well, they're on Leopard. And
okay,
they
you're on
upgraded
Leopard.
Upgraded to Snow Leopard. So MobileMe users are going to be able to get a free Snow Leopard copy if they have MobileMe, which is going away June 30th. This also accounts for people who are actually MobileMe customers but have already converted to iCloud. So you can actually go to an article posted by Macworld that will give you a link that we have in our show notes in order to get your copy of Snow Leopard. You can also call Apple or check their website for that.
And why are they doing this, you ask? Well, Apple's been patching and updating things lately, and they have not been running updates for Leopard on certain things. So they want people to get used to the newer software, and this kind of forces people to actually move along, at least get Snow Leopard.
Yeah, there's quite a few improvements with that, and some people just don't.
So it's
feel
just
like
an
it.
Enticement. It's an enticement.
And if you are wondering, those of you who have not upgraded yet, you can still purchase a copy of Snow Leopard for only $29.
So
it's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah.
To do that and keep yourself safe out there and up to date with different patches and things, but you will want to check your compatibility settings for Snow Leopard to make sure your system can support the operating system.
I just want to know what the next cat is they're going to use.
Well, the next one's Lion. It's not out yet.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, whatever you say, dear.
I think it comes out this summer, doesn't it? Or is it out already? I don't remember.
Microsoft is doing away with Microsoft Office for Mac for the time being. Apparently, there was some problems with the latest update to MS Office for Mac. It screwed up the Outlook database somehow. So those of you who have not yet updated, try not to update. And hopefully Microsoft will have a fix for this soonish.
Yeah, if you go into your auto update panel, you will not have that service pack download anymore for Office 2011 Service Pack 2. But if you are inclined, there are ways that you can actually download it manually to your system. Microsoft is suggesting you follow a few steps before you do that, and we'll include that in the show notes so that you can actually be safe in not corrupting your Outlook on mail.
Another quick word about the ebook price fixing things that are going on. We haven't been talking about the lawsuits much, which is intentional. But just to note, we talked a couple weeks ago that the Department of Justice had brought an antitrust lawsuit against Apple and a couple other publishers who would not settle here in the U.S., and now it has moved to Canada. Several publishers, along with Apple, are being sued for similar antitrust or Canada's similar laws. I don't know if it's called antitrust, but a similar reason. So it's moving across the world, folks. Where will it end up next?
Yeah, this is one of those things that is so confusing and irritating that you just don't want to follow it until there is actually a decision in somebody's favor.
Right.
Well, in big news this week, Microsoft has released SkyDrive in order to try and compete with Dropbox.
Whee!
Well, they didn't release it. It's always been there, but now they've given an update. You will actually be able to get 7 gigabytes of storage free and be able to collaborate and share documents and that kind of thing. For $10, you'll be able to get 20 gigabytes per year and up to $50 for 100 gigabytes.
And they've combined it with Mesh, it seems like to me. They put in more collaboration features and more features regarding how you can sync your apps and documents.
Yeah, there's a few concerns because they have gotten rid of, or at least it doesn't appear to be in this update of SkyDrive, there doesn't appear to be remote desktop connectivity, which is something that evidently people were using a lot with Microsoft Mesh. There are mobile apps out and coming for all mobile devices. If you go to your live.com or hotmail.com account at live.com, you'll be able to log in, and supposedly you needed to actually have uploaded one document, but I was actually able to upgrade my account to 25 gigabytes of free space, and I've never really used it for anything, so I'm
and
not sure.
I used Windows Live Messenger occasionally, but I never uploaded anything. I mean, I used my account for that, but I never uploaded any documents, and the upgrade worked on mine too, so I don't know.
Yeah, so if you have a live.com or a Hotmail account, you might want to head into that account and see if you can actually get SkyDrive to upgrade you for free.
25 gigs!
For being a loyal customer.
Woohoo!
And not to be outdone, the magical unicorn known as Google Drive has finally come to life.
This is crazy. We've been talking about it for ages and ages and ages, and it's finally here.
Yeah, it's been rumored for probably a year and a half, 2 years or more.
And of course, they've got their own pricing scheme.
Yeah, you're going to get 5 gigabytes free. Right now, the only thing that it will do if you get actually authorized for Google Drive is 5 gigabytes of storage, and it converts your Google Docs to this new Google Drive. so it doesn't sound tremendously exciting at this point. They have a little bit different pricing scheme. For 25 gigabytes, you'll pay $2.49 per month. For 100 gigabytes, you'll pay $4.95 a month. And for 1 terabyte, you can pay $50 a month.
$49.99. That's a bit steep. $600 a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Woo!
This will interface with your Google Documents. You'll be able to share, collaborate, do all the same kind of things that Microsoft SkyDrive does. There will be mobile apps coming for that.
There's one for Android already.
Yes, I of think. Course.
And but I believe the other platforms still haven't been developed
yet.
Yeah,
I believe they're still coming. No word as to whether there will be a Windows Phone version.
And the Google blog entry points out that Google Drive is accessible for people running screen readers. I have not tested this.
Yeah, I looked in my email just before we started recording this podcast, and I think I might have actually gotten my invite to Google Drive, so I'll have to try that out.
And I think we do have an article in our show notes about how to use Google Drive with keyboard shortcuts.
Yes, that link was provided by Brian Watson. Okay, in a short little ditty. In a continuing trend, Netflix was doing it. Hulu started out with Battleground, which I hear is pretty good, but I just haven't watched it yet. Hulu is going to start producing 4 more unique shows for the internet.
And they all have weird names.
Yeah. We Got Next. All right.
Okay.
The Awesomes.
What that just that? Sounds stupid.
What is that? A tool? A bunch of toolbars from Firefox?
There you go.
The Awesome Bars? No, maybe not. Don't Quit Your Daydream.
That's kind of a cool name.
Yeah, that's kind of decent. And Flow. Not to be confused with the 80s sitcom Flow that was a spinoff from Alice.
That was spelled F-L-O.
Yes. Florence Jean Castleberry. Kiss my grits, y'all.
Okay, and apparently these shows are supposed to have like famous actors and artists in them.
Yeah, Seth Meyers and Michael Schumacher from Saturday Night Live, Adrian Grenier from Entourage, and Danny Liner from, let's see, The Office.
And Arrested Development.
Yeah, Arrested Development and Freaks and Geeks, which I sort of remember that from the 90s, but it's been a while. I have to revisit the Netflix. This is a push to try and get new content and new viewers to go with their Hulu Plus offerings.
Well, they did say that they are up 500,000 subscribers since January.
Yeah, they've actually reached 2 million subscribers to Hulu Plus, which is their service for $7.99 a month. It is a great service if you are like us and you try to record a lot of different things on your DVR.
And your DVR gets full.
Yeah, and you can't keep up with it because you're doing something like a stupid podcast.
Reading a book or something like that.
But in comparison, Netflix announced their earnings this week, and they quoted their subscribers to be around 24 million. So that's quite a big difference there. Yay.
We will try to keep this yawn fest to a minimum, but we did want to talk about the new Ivy Bridge processor coming out soon.
Why, yes, the quad-core new Ivy Bridge processors from Intel will be coming out. They are claiming to have 20% more performance with 20% less average power usage, according to Engadget. The reason I wanted to point this out is because it is rumored that if you are looking for a Mac computer in the next few weeks, you may want to hold off because the new versions will probably be coming out with Ivy Bridge processors, and you don't want to be sad because you missed out. In other quick product news, Adobe has launched Photoshop CS6 and CS6 Extended Editions, which cost at least one Alex, according to the MacBreak Weekly pricing scale.
One Alex?
Yeah, one Alex Lindsay is $700. So the CS6 version that is coming out is $600. The extended version is $999, which boasts that it will have great options for doing 3D graphics.
Yay.
And things. Just mention this in case people are out there doing web graphics or podcast album art or something like that, you know, might be useful.
AT&T is starting to release its Watson voice recognition platform as an API for developers who want to create apps and other tools using voice to text. So, in other words, AT&T's been doing research for 20 years on Watson and finally getting it out there to the developer. They found that doing their research that it's easiest to get voice recognition to work if an app specializes in various categories. So they're getting it out to developers in several who are developing in several distinct categories first, among them being web searching, communication, and various simple things. So in other words, they're trying to make the APIs focus on various tasks.
Such as putting it in cars for voice guidance and different technologies like that to sort of get it out there. I think that was one of the areas.
Yeah, that was one of them.
And they're going to offer a SDK, which is a software developer kit, which is going to be called SpeechKit. And that should be coming out sometime in June for those people who want to have the Jeopardy voice of the computer that actually beat Ken Jennings and that other dude.
Brad
something or another.
Yeah.
Beat them actually at Jeopardy.
That was amusing.
Granted, he didn't know pop culture.
Oh, no, he was pretty bad on that one. Ceratec is now offering Ivona voices. And they're adding them to their collection. So now they not only have the Neo Speech, Kate, Paul, and Julie.
They'll also have the UK's male and female voices of Brian and Amy, American male and female voices of Eric and Jennifer, and now Kendra and Joey.
And these voices all sound so weird.
And they only cost $25 each.
Well, that's how much the other ones cost, too.
Oh.
So I wish I had samples for you to hear. I did at one point and then deleted them.
Well, that was real smart.
Well, they weren't. Klango had the free ones.
Oh,
so when
okay.
I installed the free ones, I actually did install. They're huge, by the way. They're about 250 megs apiece for those of you who are going to be downloading them. Eric, who sounds like a Norwegian Viking out for blood. Kendra, who sounds like she's been smoking 5 packs a day. Joey, who sounds like a stoned high school kid.
Dude.
Actually, that's sort of the way he sounds.
Dude.
This is Joey. I hope you'll like my voice. It's like, oh,
dude.
My God.
Sweet. Dude, where's my car?
Yeah. And British Amy is quite nice, actually. The others all have this weird, quirky sound. They don't sound natural to me at all. But some of them are quite good, and they are $25, like the Neo Speech, so get out there and have fun.
Head over to ceratec.com.
Yeah, and Ivona, I thought it was probably only a matter of time before this happened because Ivona's opening up to Android and other places, so it seemed only
logical
that they would be coming out with this. So have loads of fun.
Granted, I still prefer Julie.
Yeah, well, and these will only work with system access.
Yeah.
WindowEyes 7.5.4.1. Did I get all those points in there?
One, two, three. Yeah, three of them, yes.
Has just been released, and among the fixes are some bug fixes that resulted from the 7.5.4 update. One in particular, some Windows Internet Explorer help files, I think. You can link to those again. I think there was some kind of link broken somewhere. And also, Braille was rather sluggish at times on the Braille displays, especially when heading into edit fields. And that has also been corrected. And we have a link in the show notes for the article that talks about all of the new updates to the update.
Yes, and there are upgrade pricing options. And if you have certain versions, you can get that for free.
Yes. I think if you have version 7.5, you can get it for free, I think. Don't quote me on it, though.
I believe that is correct, if you have at least 7.5. I don't know if there's a point included in there somewhere. Well, according to Blind Bargains, you, if you are an AI squared person or looking to get some software or equipment, you can do so by saving 10% on your next purchase from AI squared.
In order to do this, you need to do so by April 30th. That is when the sale runs out. You can go to AI squared. The sale applies to all of their products. And in order to get the 10% off, you need to enter the promotion code SPRING. That doesn't sound too hard, does it?
How you spell that? No.
G-N-I-R-P-S.
Yeah, and that even includes upgrades if you're kind of been on the fence as far as upgrading your Zoom text screen reader or magnifier. You can actually use it towards that as well.
So that's fantastic.
You can give them a call or visit AISquared.com. Walmart mail order pharmacy now offers ScriptTalk talking prescriptions.
This is really kind of cool. If you sign up with Walmart mail order pharmacy, just like we said, I don't know how it works. I don't understand it. But if you sign up for their ScriptTalker workstation, you can get your medicine and you hold it next to the workstation and it reads the prescription label.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a little device that is going to read a button that is included on the bag, I think is the way it read, was that would be a button that would have the actual prescription information on there, and then you would put it on this particular device, and it would actually read it to you.
Envision America has some more information on this, and there's an article in our show notes that talks about how to get more information.
Yeah.
And you also need to check with your insurance company, or if you've got Medicare or Medicaid, they may cover the cost of the ScriptTalker.
Yeah, it is in sort of a trial basis with Walmart. The phone number to get in touch with Envision, which is EN-Vision America, is 800-890-1180 if you're interested in finding out about the ScriptTalk station. That's S-C-R-I-P-T-A-L-K station.
There was a book fair in London this past week, and a group of publishers got together and basically made a statement saying that accessibility was very important and that they were aware of the need to provide books in alternative and accessible formats. I don't know how much it really means and what publishers were actually involved, but it does signify that someone is actually out there watching and listening to the needs of blind and visually impaired individuals who do read, well, all kinds of books. I know this statement was made, among other places, to the Royal National Institute for Blind People. They received a copy of it. And they're also members of the group of several publishers. So just a note that that's statements out there. And hopefully we can get publishers here in the U.S. to agree to that also.
Well, with digital books becoming more and more prevalent, a standard really needs to become fact.
Exactly. And so it sounds like in the UK, although they haven't developed a standard, they've gotten a group of publishers to agree that it's important and that they need to maybe think of one.
Yeah.
So they seem a little bit further ahead than us, who are just sort of floundering along.
Well, maybe there's less companies griping over there or something.
Well, there may be a few less restrictions as well.
Because the U.S. is known for copyright issues and such.
Disney World and Disneyland in Florida and California, respectively. The Disney Corporation has come to an agreement with various visually impaired individuals who have sued on a number of fronts. These were class action lawsuits surrounding not only the website, which is pretty crappy and inaccessible.
All Flash, for the most part.
Yeah, and inaccessible, but also, to some extent, the theme parks themselves and various things in them. This does not apply to the Disney Cruise Line or other sundry resorts. As far as the website, they have agreed to make it more accessible by doing various things. And there's an article in our show notes that deals the lawsuit in excessive detail, so I won't go into that. A few more things that Disney has agreed to do to make their theme parks more accessible are to build a few more features into the audio mapping device that you can carry around with you if you are blind, that tells you where you're going and what's going on where you are. Also, ways in which service animals can be either left behind safely or taken onto various rides in the theme parks. Ways in which they can provide better access to their parade viewing areas. And also trying to provide their menus to their restaurants in alternative formats, whether it's having an employee read the items on the menu or actually having braille menus. So those are just a few of the small things being done. And if you want more detail, visit that article.
Yeah, and who was it? It was Mike Calvo did a big demonstration on the actual player that gives you the points of interest and things. So I think you can find that over on saratalk.com if you're interested in how that player actually worked. He seemed to be pretty impressed with it.
T-Mobile is being fined $819 million because...
Thousand.
I'm sorry. Where am I getting million?
I don't know. I guess you're in the court system now.
I guess. Is being fined $819,000 because they have failed to comply with some accessibility requirements. These requirements had to do with making their handsets hearing aid compatible, compatible with different kinds of hearing aids. And so you had to have certain percentages of your handsets compatible with these, and they didn't meet the quota. And it's been a problem since 2010, so they now be fining, being assessed a fine. That seems kind of an arbitrary amount. 819? It has to be based on something. So anyway,
it almost would be somebody's mailing address.
So I guess all they can do now is claim that the fine is, you know, that they're being overfined, essentially.
Yeah, I didn't realize that to support acoustic coupling devices, I didn't realize that they would be required to have at least 10 phones that were compatible, or 50% of all phones needed to be compatible with such devices.
Yeah.
And I guess there's even an inductive coupling. I'm not sure, it didn't explain
there,
what that
there
was.
There are two different kinds of hearing aids, I guess, that they're trying to provide for. One is inductive coupling and one is acoustic coupling.
Yes.
And not knowing about hearing aids, I don't know what all those do.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're not confusing this with the BBC show Coupling.
No, God, no.
I keep ears in a bucket.
Again, on the hearing aid front, courts have ruled that public schools do not have to pay for reprogramming of cochlear implants. I guess a couple of students had cochlear implants, and the schools had stated that the students were to have free audiology services. This is pretty standard in U.S. elementary schools. They give you hearing tests and stuff.
Beep.
Beep. Beep.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, God, that was a stupid damn thing. I just, it was awful.
I always hated that because I was afraid I wouldn't hear something.
I know, I was too, and it was like, why are we even doing this? This is pointless.
You know, you'd put your hand up to the headphone so you'd press it against your ear because that would guaranteed to help you hear a little closer.
Exactly. And then I actually had one time where I didn't hear it. And she's like, did you hear that? No, I didn't hear it. What am I supposed to hear? I was only six. I was like having a panic attack over not having heard one of them.
Yeah, and they put you in this little tiny closet with headphones on. And it was like, boom. You felt like you were pressurized.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
So,
anyway,
we digress.
We digress big time. But parents thought that this meant that they could have their children's cochlear implants reprogrammed for free. And the court said, uh-uh, which is perfectly understandable. The cochlear implants were not something the school installed for them or paid for. So why should the school have to maintain them? Oh, well. I guess people want something for free. They want it all.
Well, I have a feeling that kind of thing is a little expensive. So
yeah,
you'd probably want it free.
You would want it free, but if you had the implant installed and it was a private matter, it would seem like you'd want to make the commitment to take long-term care of it.
Yeah, I can.
You'd
want to
keep
that.
The lookout. Yeah. Well, how much are we going to have to spend to maintain this implant? It's an investment. And not only your child's future, but your own financial future.
Very true.
So anyway, I'll get off my high horse now.
Well, let me see if my brain can help this paralyzed hand to get you off that high horse.
There you go. Thank you very much. There are some researchers at Northwestern University who are developing a technology, unspecified at this point, that allows your brain to tell your hands to move and bypasses the spinal cord in some way. Essentially, it somehow allows your brain to communicate with your hand, but bypasses the nerves in your spinal cord. So the theory being, if you're paralyzed, you could still have hand movement. We'll have to see how this develops. They've been testing it in these poor monkeys, and it apparently is working. They give them a local anesthetic and then use the device to try and get the monkey to pick up a ball, and it seems to work.
See, that's just what's twisted.
I know, it's sad. Poor things.
It's like that 88 or 89 movie Project X or whatever that had Matthew Broderick and I want to say it was Helen Hunt in it, where they were doing NASA experiments on chimps.
The sort of thing happens a lot. It's not like it's surprising, but I wish the article had more information.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're being so secretive. And I usually don't include research for that reason, but I thought to include this one simply because it really didn't say much. This is one of the articles that has some of the least information in it of any research study that we've ever had in our show notes, I think.
Yeah, but it could help out a lot of people if they actually are able to accomplish this.
Definitely. Absolutely. A guy with on the autism spectrum is creating a nonprofit organization wherein people with similar disorders can go into a virtual world, sort of like Second Life, and learn various skills, such as how to interview for jobs, anything from that to personal hygiene to social skills. Apparently, this person was very much helped by interacting with people through Second Life, because he didn't have to actually interact with physical people, but it gave him a level of social interaction with other people in the outside world with bypassing the physical interaction. So his theory is that this is going to help other people on the autistic spectrum, and so we'll see if this takes off. And I thought it was a very interesting concept.
Very good.
Most of the articles we see on autism talk about vaccines and genetics, and this one was very different in that it was a very sort of novel way of dealing with the symptoms.
Yeah, autism is a definite growing problem. And
sort of like the flashback malware. Are there really less or more people with autism than we think?
Yeah, and they keep saying the number grows every year, you know.
And now there are people in the American Psychological Association who really want to crack down on the diagnosis and make the number smaller. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's just crazy. Speaking of making a difference, just because everybody else has a Hall of Fame, the internet has one now as well.
Was kicked off early this week by inducting its first 11 members from several different countries, some of them with PhDs, one Nobel Prize winner, and you get the picture.
Yeah,
the scary thing is, half of these people, I don't know who they are.
But if you go over to internethalloffame.org, you can get little bios on people like Vint Cerf, who developed the TCP/IP protocol, Linus Torvald, who developed Linux. He's being honored as well. There's about 30 different people that they have on there that are sort of honorees.
The Internet Society
is
the organization spearheading this initiative.
Yeah, and then you have like Tim Berners-Lee, Mitchell Baker, and Brewster Kale as well, who are some of the top five, I guess you would say. What were you thinking?
Kids today, I mean, really, what's up with them? Well, there have been various trends. Kids aren't allowed to drink in the U.S. until they're 21, or 18, depending on what state you're in. So they've developed all these nifty ways to get access to alcohol. A few years ago, it was cough syrup. Now it's hand sanitizer. Apparently, kids have found a way to separate the gel from the alcohol and drink the alcohol. This sounds so incredibly disgusting. And actually, some kids have been known to become dangerously ill by doing so.
Yeah, in 2010, there was actually 2,000 people sent to the hospital because of this. Now, I can kind of see this because my last year in college, it was sort of the narcotics hall. There was a couple of people there on the hall that they figured out that, hey, if you take morning glory seeds, granted this was in December and they were ordering morning glory seeds from a local nursery. If you took that and you crushed it in a petri dish and you put it on your tongue and sat with it for a while, you would hallucinate like you were on LSD. We had people that would funnel
Robitussin.
The green label, the version D of Robitussin. And I never will forget it because somebody was doing it and came out of one of the rooms and was like, my God, there has to be something better to drink than this crap. I was like, yeah. But yeah, the cough syrup thing has been around for years as far as like the military, because they're not allowed to have alcohol on like naval ships and things, but they could easily get a hold of Robitussin and things like that.
Morning glory seeds.
Yeah, the morning glory seeds was a little strange.
Did you ever try it?
No. I was kind of like, what are you, stupid?
Well, apparently.
But yeah, hand sanitizer, when I first read that, I'm like, wait a minute. They're taking that gel crap and drinking that? But no, they're separating it, which takes some sort of a process. The news report that is in the article that we'll post with it is this.
Kind of vague.
It didn't really say anything. And the Cracker Jack interviewer lady, she was asking some kids that were very preppy and straight-laced, have you ever met anyone doing such as this? And mm-hmm. Goes like, I don't know. I've never known anyone that would do something like this.
I never heard of this before.
It's strange.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, whoever, whatever, but...
Egads.
What else will people do today? Well, apparently they'll steal strange stuff and then post about it on Facebook.
20-year-old Michael Baker of Jenkins County basically siphoned gas out of a police cruiser.
His girlfriend took a photo of him doing that, and then when the police came running out to tell him to stop, he flipped them the bird, and she also had a photo of him doing that.
Now, you would think, okay, he could probably run, get away, and all this kind of stuff. Police officers probably, yeah, who gives a crap? Dude posted it on his Facebook and sent it out to all of his friends.
That's stupid. I mean, really.
And if you're curious, he was 20 years of age, so he kind of classifies as a kid.
Not quite grown up yet. And apparently, one of his friends took the social network as far as it would go and called the police and informed them of this. Now, as to whether he was actually arrested or not, I think he was taken in. I'm not sure if he served any kind of a sentence or not.
And
I think the trial is still going on.
Yeah, and to show how brilliant and bright this wonderful guy is, he's actually considering suing Mark Zuckerberg for privacy violations.
Yes. Isn't that just brilliant?
What
a genius move that is.
Phew. Ooh, his crackers then slid off his cheese. To reverse that up.
One other brilliant thief decided that he didn't want to go to all the trouble for paying less than a dollar for a drink at McDonald's. Do we call that soda or pop?
I don't know. You Midwestern people call it a pop. Pop.
The article calls it soda, so we'll go with the article.
Or you could be kind of crazy and call it a soda pop. Or a sody pop.
Oh, sody pop. Okay. Yeah.
But a Florida man has been convicted to 5 years in jail and a $5,000 fine for getting a courtesy cup for water at a McDonald's. And then he went to the drink fountain and filled it up with Coke or
soda
something.
Or something.
The manager then questioned the guy about it and insisted that he pay. He would not pay the dollar for the drink. Now, granted, a courtesy cup. Come on. That little cup doesn't hold about 2 ounces, please.
Just to put this into perspective for people, this guy has this long of a sentence. It's now considered a felony because he has various other petty theft and disorderly conduct convictions.
Yeah, like trespassing and the such.
Yeah, and wasn't there a DUI in there somewhere? Anyway, yeah. A bunch of other stuff. So this has now upgraded him to a felony for stealing an 87-cent soda.
So, dude, what are you in for? Well, I wouldn't pay for my dollar soda.
Pardon me?
So, on that note, this madness that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode...
Oh, 136.
If you'd like to visit the stories we decided to cover or not cover for this episode, you can visit delicious.com/techaccess/136. If you would like to check out Book Hoarders Anonymous and satisfy your book cravings by listening to me and Shannon Curry ramble on about books, visit bhapodcast.com.
Well, actually,
Book Hoarders Anonymous.
Yes, and what is the reading assignment for the upcoming episode?
The reading assignment for the upcoming episode, which will be recorded in the next couple of weeks, is The Sugar Queen by Sarah Addison Allen. So quite different from The Hunger Games, different genre and everything. So this should be a fun read and discussion. If you'd like to read it and submit your comments, you can do so by emailing bhapodcast@gmail.com. Or following Book Hoarders on Twitter.
Yes, and you can also check out The Melting Pot on the Mushroom FM birthday special.
Incidentally, there will be 2 Melting Pots this week. There is the birthday special on Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern as part of the Mushroom FM 2-year birthday celebratory cruise.
Hot diggity dang.
And that starts tomorrow on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern and ends on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, which means guess what? It ends just as the melting pot starts. So you will hear me again at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday.
Yes, and there are trivia questions and things and little promotions going on the whole weekend.
You can win a tote bag and 2 people will win money prizes.
Yes.
So for all of that glorious fun, visit mushroomfm.com for further details.
And hopefully by next week, these allergies will go away because they have been horrific all week.
Yes, absolutely.
And this podcast has been brought to you by Coffers Anonymous.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, I'm Erin Edgar on Twitter.
I'm Rodney Edgar on Twitter as well.
And with that, we will simply say...
Bye-bye.